with Charlie Gomez, World War II veteran, date June 8th, 2012. Okay, Charlie, where were you born? Were you born here in
the... Yeah, I was born here in Kennedy, Texas.
Ah, okay.
And according to my mother, I was already on my way over when they came across the river.
Yeah.
And my dad came up as a Gandhi dancer and working on the railroad. Mm-hmm. Now, they went all the way up to Ohio and then way back. I guess she got pregnant again and knew he had a sister that died someplace out here in Oak Creek. That's how we ended here.
Okay, so you've been here for...
Well, since...
So you were born just...
Yeah, I was born here in Milwaukee. We've been here since about 23 or 25.
1923 or 1925.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So what do you remember about your childhood? And did you live in this area in South Texas?
We came over here in the first place. We moved to some place on Kinnikinick. There used to be a lot of Mexicans in there. Then from there, we went over to a Tony Piano on North Water and Broadway. They used to have a saloon there, and right across the street used to be Frenzy's Market Shop, Butcher Shop. Frenzy there, that's Glorioso now, because he married the girl.
Oh.
I knew them all. we stayed there for a while, then we went to, then we moved again, and we moved on North Water and North Water, right across from Professor Vogel.
Okay. I know where that
is. We came there, and we had a sister that was born there, and she died already. In between in there, they took me to Thomas Jefferson School.
Oh.
I went to Thomas Jefferson School to her. I stopped to 8th grade there, and then I went to Lincoln High School. And I graduated from Lincoln High School.
Okay.
I did graduate. As a matter of fact, I got Apple Cup to that point and I said, graduate. They do, a lot of people don't believe that. I said, I got trouble speaking English anyway. You know, me habla poquito. that's what they want to hear, okay.
So what did you do after high school then?
After high school, in between there, I went to that school of engineering.
Okay.
And I took welding there. And I passed all the tests there, and they got me a first job at Western Metal.
Excellent.
That's how I got into the trades. And, okay. And then from that guy didn't want to pay me, so then I went down the shipyard there.
Okay.
And from the shipyard there, he was teed off because I didn't tell him that I... That place was affirmed. I didn't really have to go. I really could have made a big stink and not to go.
Yeah.
And I just when we started to live like a human being, we were making some big money.
Good.
I was getting and they started me out a buck and a half, quarter, and then I got a raise with another quarter, and then I was getting a buck and a half.
Okay.
And at that time, that was good money.
Good money. So what time did you graduate from high school? What year was that? Remember?
Well, I graduated after the war. I didn't finish. I went, and then I got one. I needed about, in that last year, it was in the same time I graduated at the same time I come out of service.
Okay.
Because they give you a certain amount of...
They do.
Okay. That's how I got the diploma.
So when did you go into the service? Were you drafted or did you volunteer to go in the...
Oh, it was a matter of both.
Okay.
You know, I got shook up with the FBI.
So the war was going on?
Yeah, the war was going on, and so I just said, okay, I'll volunteer, then I'll go.
And what made you decide to go into the Navy?
Well, right away. They more or less insisted I go in and into the Navy because I was working at the training building.
And they needed your trade, your skills.
My,
sheet metal.
Guess what they gave me when I went into and they took me?
What?
Lousiest job you could find. What was that in the Navy?
Where was it?
They put you on and they give you a paintbrush and a scraper and you scrape the decks.
Oh,
just a pain in the ship. I said, like an apprentice seaman.
Yeah. So you had to scrape the metal and paint.
Yeah.
So
then, we got hit. You know, we got two. We got hit twice.
Okay, what ship was that you were on?
The USS Mississippi.
Okay, that was.
No, from right after that, I mean, they took me over to for training, very good Idaho for training. Okay. They wouldn't even want me around here.
Okay.
That's in Idaho. And then from there.
So you didn't go to Great Lakes?
No.
Okay.
Very good Idaho. That's right on. It's very good Idaho.
Yeah.
And then after that, they said, well, you're all done. We were finished with you. And they sent me home, and then they sent me right out to the boat. They took me right into Remington, Washington, aboard ship.
Okay. Yeah, so you were out on the West Coast then?
Yeah, on the West Coast, on the Pacific.
And your first ship was the USS Mississippi?
Yeah, all my time I spent on the USS Mississippi.
Okay.
And from there, where you first... Yeah.
And that was in 1944?
Yeah. And they... From there, the first stop was Hawaii. We got loaded up in Hawaii. You know how they say that all the officers are supposed to be, what you call them?
Gentlemen?
Gentlemen, hell, they were all taking women to Hawaii, down in their quarters.
Okay.
Well, that's right.
Then you're right. You're right. So how long were you in Hawaii?
Not long. Just
to load up and
just
get supplies?
Just to load up the provisions and out we went.
Okay.
You know when... Japanese lost a bad battle of what the hell is that? In the Pacific, they were trying to come down on the West Coast up to
the Aleutian Islands.
Yeah. But once they lost Guadalcanal, that's what it was.
Okay.
Once they lost that battle in Guadalcanal, well, then they took all the troops back and put them back into the Union.
Okay.
That's what the.
So what was your next stop after Hawaii? You left Hawaii and you went into the Pacific.
Oh, we went to all them little islands. I didn't even.
Right.
I never even cared to know them.
So there were battles there, though.
Oh yeah. Oh, there was always battles. That's how we got all them islands.
Yeah.
We got Cherry Castle. I don't know if you heard. That was a Japanese stronghold before you get to Tokyo. Well, this ship was called on. For firing power to knock down Cherry Castle so the Marines could come in.
Okay.
And then we went to Palau.
Oh, yeah.
Philippines. I went to Palau and the Lady in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
All to the south. We was all to the South Pacific. That ship never stayed in one place. It just...
Mm-hmm.
It kept moving. And then... I was a ship hitter, so after every bombardment, then my job was to go around, and besides this other one, I was to go around and check, fix up all the stuff that was loose.
From the bombardment?
Yeah.
The shockwave?
Yeah.
Firing all those guns?
40, we had 40s and 30 millimeters for shooting down them planes. That's how we got 11 planes down.
Yeah.
So. In between there, we went into dry dock. That's something. That's scary. And you get in, it comes in there and it brings all the ship down. Then we had an air raid and you couldn't do nothing. Everything is shut down, turn off all the lights. And then for that ship that we sunk, the Japanese battle wagon, we was in about 2 days in general quarters in the down just stationed in the battalion. And on board ship, you know, you've got a certain spot. If that ship
you're assigned,
it doesn't open up for you. That's it. That's. They got they're all sealed. That's part of the Navy.
Right. So you go into general quarters and you seal everything off.
Yeah, everything is sealed off. Everybody's got a shape, and if you don't happen to get down there in time, well, then you're shit out of luck. You have to.
Right.
I don't know what they're...
Yeah, whatever you got to
do. Wherever you're at, that's where you stay.
They stay.
I couldn't get used to sleeping on a hammock.
No?
Did you ever sleep on a hammock?
No.
Well, you got to sleep on your back. If you happen to roll, then you fall down. You're up about... And then you get in the morning, you get a number up. You got a hook with a number on it. At 6 o'clock or 5:30, you take that thing off and then you roll it up, that hammock and you're lying and you got a little hole in there where you put your thing. It's at 6 o'clock at night, they let you put it back up.
Okay.
A lot of guys would fell down and broke their teeth. After a while, they wouldn't get up. They'd rather sleep on the bottom right under the name. If you stepped on them, well,
if you slept on the floor, then,
yeah.
You know?
That was that.
Did you run into any people you knew or any Latinos?
No.
You know, any other Gomez or Gonzalez or Lopez?
One guy that was a, he was from Texas someplace, and when that ship got hit, he got all burned and they took him off. Oh yeah, there was a couple of, after a while, I don't know when the hell they came from. Where they picked them up, there was a Pilo and another young guy. And we picked one up that was off the water, that one of them, what's it called, hit. And on our way back, we came to, we picked up a quarter of Marines and we came to the Panama Canal. We come to, we stationed over at Louisiana there. At the foot of Canal Street. Okay. To top it off, the first day I got there, I had to go in this being an officer, I had to go on shore patrol.
Oh, really?
I came into New Orleans, and then I was being a passenger, they sent me out on shore patrol. And I was down there, so I just got back and my mom comes down with my youngest brother. And I was at a job trying to find him a hotel at 1 o'clock at night. Anyway, we got in, and how she did it, for a woman that didn't know how to speak English, I don't know how she ever got to move around and find everything that she wanted to do. Yeah. And then Red Cross got a hold of her or something, then they sent me home with her for my leave. I hadn't been off a ship for all the time since I went out.
Wow.
And after 2 weeks, I guess, they sent me a letter over there that I shouldn't go back. The ship had already gone over to Norfolk, Virginia. So from here, I went to Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
In Norfolk, Virginia, we were there for a short time. Oh, I didn't tell you about when we was in the Philippines. Our ship, was so much blood in the water, we got quarantined. We got what they called dysentery. Oh. You know what dysentery is?
Yes.
Anyway, the whole ship was, what's it called? A couple of guys died because they were bleeding from behind.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, then you couldn't touch nothing. Everything had to be boiled. They had to be...
oh, my goodness.
But then,
How many were on that ship?
Well, there was about 1,000 people on that ship.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
Over 100 officers.
Yeah. During these battles, was anybody injured or killed?
Oh, there was always when that ship got hit there, I guess about 100 of them died. That first week, I hit twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time.
Well, what did you, were you torpedoed or an airplane?
No, planes come down. There were kamikaze planes. They're the ones that come.
They crashed purposely into the ship.
Yeah, they just went, nothing left though. Matter of fact, I was carrying a piece of that plane that hit us. For a long time, I always carried it around. And toward the end, after my mom died, and my sisters got in there, everybody started grabbing there.
You lost it. Yeah,
it got lost. And everything got lost, it just got misplaced. And
right.
They didn't know what it was, so they probably just threw it out.
That's
how we got that one.
Did you make good friends there on the ship? Some good friends, close buddies?
I was in charge of, toward the end, I was in charge of the ship for the shop. So I got to be the most I ever weighed, 175 pounds. Anybody that wanted anything, they'd come to me, and I let them have it, and then... And then in return, you know, they bring me a kid. I was eating nothing but steaks, the best of steaks and stuff. Ice cream that you never get. They brought the ice cream. And of course, during battle, you know, you're always 4 on and 4 off.
Yeah.
4 hours on, and then you get the 4 hours off. And as a matter of fact, you get so damn used to it. I think I still wake that way.
Yeah.
I wake up.
4 hours on.
Yeah.
But it looks like you were in 5 battles.
Yeah, 5 major battles.
And kamikazes and everything else.
Oh, and then you always had to submarine alerts run along with that. I don't know that you get. Out at sea, you always get that stuff. Just go, and everybody runs out. And,
general quarters.
General quarters. On the whole, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then when I, from Norfolk, they sent me over to the Great Lakes for a discharge. Okay. And I told them, hey, I don't hear too good. You know what they did? Took a bunch of hot water and a big surgeon. But that son of a gun never put it down on my discharge.
Okay, so yeah, never recorded.
It never were recorded, and to this day, and right after that, you know, you start
losing
more and more and more and more. And I told them, well, they said, it's not on your record. And I said, well, I can't tell you what to put on your record, you know. There's no more or less than I can tell you. what you're writing? I don't know. You write whatever you think you want to write. And that's it.
So, you got discharged what year then? Was it 46?
I think it was in 46 or 45. Mm-hmm. Right after the war.
Yeah. Okay, right after
because
the war.
I got out early because of the point system. And so for each one of those stars, you got so much. So I had way more than enough to come out.
Yeah, but every battle, you get so many points, you know, so...
You were in
a lot of battles, or five, so that gave you a lot of points, so you could rotate home. So then, what did you do when you got out, when you got discharged? Did you go back to school or work or celebrate for a while?
Well, I think I needed to, I need a couple of credits for what's it called, so they said I should go and get them. So.
For your high school diploma?
Yeah. And they said, well, actually, they said you could have it without it. Well, my luck. My luck, I got to do everything the hard way. That's a problem.
You got your diploma?
Yeah, I got the diploma. I think I still got that one upstairs someplace.
When did you start working? What's your first job after the service? Because you went to school.
Oh, I couldn't find no job. Nobody would hire me.
Mm.
I had my ma had some friends from the old country. Maybe you heard of them. Juan Zarate?
Yes, Zarate's, yes.
He used to be the foreman in the packing house. Armour's packing house.
Armour's, yes.
Yeah, right down on 16th and the bottom used to be.
Yes, 16th Street, right on.
I couldn't find a job, so he gave me a job. He almost killed me. He put me in the coolers, trying to skin calves.
Yeah.
Cold, oh God, I think I only did four all day. Two. But by the time I got out, I was skinning 10 a cat to 10 an hour.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it. I said, I'm a sheet metal worker. I liked it. I went over to the union there, and then I told them I'm a sheet metal worker. I'm a specialist. That's what I was in the Navy, a specialist. I did aluminum work, brass work, anything in the line. And they said, well, we'd like to hire you, but we got to go. We got to take seniorities. He says, and we go according to seniorities. You can't. I come back. I said, we're coming down and walking, you know, but thinking, what the hell? I saw the shots. Super Seal sheet metal work. I thought I was going down. I talked to the guy, and the guy said, well, I don't know. I said, they called somebody else. And so I told Mike, don't take my word. I said, well, I could do any kind of welding that you have here at your shop. That perked them up. They needed an aluminum welder. At that time, that was a big thing, and not everybody could do that. He called in another guy. I guess I don't think they believed me. They just said, take him into the shop. Tell the guy, move. Let him do it. The guy said, okay, you're hired. I said, I can't. I can't work. Just come in tomorrow. I'll talk to the union. The union said, no, you can't hire him. He said, well, then you send me somebody down here either today or tomorrow, or he's hired.
They didn't have anybody else, so they had to hire you.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's how I got into that union. And then they kept me, and then Like I say, talk is cheap. I got all kinds of letters. You're part of this family, and you this, and they give me a bonus at Christmas, and then the old man sold it. He sold it, and then the guy that bought it says, I was getting 50 cents over scale. And he says, we're not going to do that. We took away it. I said, no, you can't do that. He said, yes, we can. He says, the union says, I don't have to pay you. I said, okay. I said, well, if you don't, well, what's it called? I'll quit. I quit, and I'd come over and work for Hoffman. Louis Hoffman. She's never worked. Drink it anymore, but just and then he starts sending me out, and then he was a good old guy to me.
How long were you there at Hoffman then?
Well, I've been in there all on and off. That's all I ever did after the war. I just worked with different outfits. The last one I never was out of a job. All you had to do when the job was done, you go to the union would ask you, we got this job, that job, just say, which one, where do you want to go? I usually want to go to the closest one. This is your journeyman. Put down a journeyman. This is a journeyman scale. This is your top pay. That was it. Okay. And the last job I worked for was for Kubinick over here on 43rd. And he's got that shop on 43rd in Burnham, I think. It's right. And then my wife's mother was always sick, and she couldn't handle her, you know.
So how did you meet your wife? Right after the service, or did you?
No, I met her later. Yeah, right after the service. Me and her brother were buddies. He was in the Army, and I was in the Navy. I had a real close buddy that was a German guy. He was in the Navy, but he always wanted to get. We wanted to get together, but he was always on the Atlantic side. And then, matter of fact, this 2 years ago, we were going to go to Germany. Yeah, I was a kid, so I could speak halfway decent German. I always could speak a little bit, but not that good, you know. And then he died on me. So oh. We never went.
Never got together. That's too bad. So you met your wife then right after the service?
Yeah, and I loved her right.
Where did you meet her? Here in...
Here in Milwaukee. Yeah, you know, on Fifth Street, they used to have an Armory Call, where they had all that little Mexican festival across the street. They had a jailhouse. Yeah. I don't remember if you remember that. Yeah. Anyway, they had it right across from the Army. They had a jailhouse. And then after they had that other one on Sixth Street, after we moved up on Sixth Street. And they were always involved in Valdez. That's how they got that man was him and Federico Herrera. They were always in a Mexican, what you call, they always wanted to organize, have a little Mexican gathering for all the Mexicans, and they did.
Made the David Valdez post, he's an army.
He was one of the first ones that got killed.
Yeah.
He got killed over Austria or Hungary, when this plane was shot down or something. And that's why it was named after him.
And the David Valdez post. So that was formed right after the war then.
Yeah.
Just all, mostly Latinos, Mexicans that joined that post, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of Mexicans. We had over 100 Mexicans.
All veterans that had joined the
mostly all from
Navy, Army.
Well, no, then I don't think I met anyone from the Navy in here.
Yeah, just
I guess
yourself.
There is one. I mean, this Montoto, I think, was in the Navy. I'm not sure. But he married a widow, and like I say, once you marry into a different, what you call it? Even my own kids. I'm not trying to find any excuses. Look at that one.
Yeah.
That's my third one. That's Danny. He was in the Air Corps.
Yeah, you said your sons were all in the service.
Yeah. Her husband is a big shot in the Army.
Yeah.
In the Air Corps.
He's stationed out in Virginia.
She was a lieutenant.
She was a lieutenant?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's about it.
It runs in the family then. Serving your country.
I'm the only dummy, George. They're all college people.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's good. I mean, you taught them well. That they figured, hey, I got to get some education, to move up. But.
And my best one, the one that graduated from the University of Mexico, he He died right after, about 2 years after he came home. He got cancer cold.
Oh, wow. That's too bad. So, what are the things about the service, what sticks out in your mind the most when you look back? And
coming out, getting home.
It's a good feeling.
I didn't have no good feelings as well. So I always been treated like shit.
You didn't want to stay in?
No. Matter of fact, they offered me a chief job.
Oh, really?
He says, after church, says, coming up real fast, he says, you're already with you. As a matter of fact, I still got some of my stripes up there. I got a uniform on. I wear a uniform.
We'd like to use it. We'd like to use a uniform. Now, what? So you didn't want to? You know, they offered you the job.
They talk to you. They're trying to get you to stay.
They do.
And they ask you, where do you want to go? We'll send you wherever you want to go. I want to go home.
You were dying with the service.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Well, you were in a lot of battles, you know, and you never know if you're going to make it or not. You know, they're bombing you, and you never know when a torpedo might come, and the planes were coming in, kamikazes, and you know, you're thinking, boy, that's enough.
Half the people don't believe that. I don't care.
Right.
Don't make no difference to me. I'm here.
You made it. How old are you now, Charlie?
I'll be 91 this July 5th.
91 July 5th, so next month. You'll be 91. Well, good for you.
I'd like to go to Mexico, but they tell me that I got a cousin that's 90, it's in his 92. Mm-hmm. My curiosity now is, see, it's part of where we're from, is the central part. You ever hear of Querétaro? Mm-hmm. That's the most historical part in Mexico. Mm. That's Maximilian and Carlota, and their friends send all the troops are down there.
Okay.
That's Querétaro.
You like to go down there and visit?
I'd like to see my uncle maybe if I could before he died, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so they're French. Most of, so I got a grandmother that's French and I got one that's Spanish. And my dad.
That's good.
Plus the regular Indian, you know. And
right. The Indian mix in there.
The Spanish one was a crazy one. She did all that double, all that dancing, you know, and drinking. But the French one was very quiet.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I brought her here, and she died here.
Okay.
Frankly, all my family married over at Holy Cross, except me and my wife. We are now. Then I tell you how it happened. One of my daughter-in-laws, she was selling plots. And we're going to help her out.
Sure.
And,
she's selling them.
But it never dawned on me that about us dying, you know. Never dawned. Otherwise, I would have told her, well, hell no, I'll give you some money or something, but I won't get you. Anyway, that's what my wife is over here on Howard here.
On Howard, St. Adelbert?
Yeah, no. No, what is it? Yeah, it's right off of Howell there, where that school is.
Okay.
The worst part of it is, I was thinking of taking it off, but now I went over there, and guess what? There's a stone on there with my name on it and everything. I said, Jesus Christ, how did all this happen? Oh, well.
Yeah, somebody put your name down there.
Yeah.
But you were in the Navy, and I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you and interview you, because most of the people I've interviewed have been Army or Marines or Air Force, and
I got a chance to talk to you. If you wanted to use
I'd like to do that. Absolutely.
No, it doesn't get loud. That's the original. That's the original.
Absolutely. And I'd also like to take a look at your uniform. You said you have your Navy winter. Yeah. With your stripes?
Just so I can show it to you right now, you're magical.
What about your ribbons? You got your ribbons on your uniform too? Do you remember?
No, I think there might be. I don't even know. I got some in the drawer there with all the magicals on. You only act foolish because they'll ask you, even at the flight over here, they ask me where the hell I get them.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, they, Oh, no, I said, I guess they give them to me, but if you want them, you can have them.
So you went on that honor flight then, you know,
yeah.
They took you down to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
When did you go then? Wait, last year?
About a year and a half ago.
Year and a half ago?
Yeah.
That's a one-day thing, isn't it?
It's way too much. It's way too much. They have you have escort to go everywhere, but you can't see everything.
No.
Like you said, what? I didn't see that. This last war here, they didn't take us to that one either because it was.
Yeah, you only have so much time, and then that's it. They take you there, you see that, and they bring you back.
Geez, you're all the time now, and I guess it was last time I heard it was a captain.
So yeah, you were on your ship, the USS Mississippi, and in the Pacific.
Take a check on that to find out what happened to it.
I'll find out.
I think last time I think they said they scrapped it.
Okay. I'll find out. I'll go on the computer and see what I can find of it. Again,
I'm pretty sure that even if it's a family ship, it's still somebody should have some kind of a record.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a record of it.
Like I say, on the honor flight, I told them I wanted a hat with the USS Mississippi on it. As long as I'm out here, I might as well get one. It didn't happen.
Okay.
He said, no, there isn't such a thing. Okay.
Right. Well, you got a chance to use that if you wanted to use it.
I'd like to do that. Absolutely.
No, it doesn't get loud. That's the original. That's the original.
Absolutely. And I'd also like to take a look at your uniform. You said you have your Navy winter. With your stripes?
Just so I can show it to you right now. You're watching.
What about your ribbons? You got your ribbons on your uniform too? Do you remember?
No, I think there might be. I don't even know. I got some in the drawer there with all the whatchacalls on.
Yeah, right.
They don't want to wear that. You only act foolish because they'll ask you, even at the flight over here, they ask me where the hell I get them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess they give them to me, but if you want them, you can have them.
So you went on that honor flight then, you know,
yeah.
They took you down to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
When did you go then? Last year?
About a year and a half ago.
That's a one-day thing, isn't it?
It's way too much. It's way too much. They have you have escort to go everywhere, but you can't see everything.
No.
Like you said, winter, I didn't see that. This last war here, they didn't take us to that one either because it was.
Yeah, you only have so much time,
yeah.
And then that's it. They take you there, you see that, and they bring you back.
Geez, you're all the time now, and I guess it was last time I heard it was a captain.
So yeah, you were on your ship, the USS Mississippi, and in the Pacific.
Take a check on that to find out what happened to it.
I'll find out.
Last time I think they said they scrapped it.
Okay. I'll find out. I'll go on the computer and see what I can find of it.
I'm pretty sure that even if it's a family ship, it's still somebody should have some kind of a record.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a record of it.
Like I say, on the honor flight, I told them I wanted a hat with the USS Mississippi. I mean, as long as I'm out here, I might as well get one. It didn't happen.
Okay.
He said, no, there isn't such a thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.